Okay. Then we get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapamadatana ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganna sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mutamang Vanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Bedang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena ChahotumokaPupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa babang Adivase tuno bante Niyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamangAdivasetunobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatumutamang Adivasetunobante Bojanang ParikapitangAnukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of their significance. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya,leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transform merits to all beings.May this merit be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujam.Budang Pujami.Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed with your meditation. For those who still need to train their mind, you go ahead and use whatever skillful means that you are familiar with to train. If your spiritual faculties are already established, you just have to relax and silence your mind. Then the meditative mind will just arise. Then you can meditate from there. Just relax and silence everything. You can stay aware without having to focus on anything is the best. But initially, if you have not stabilized that city, maybe you need to anchor it to your object of meditation. So your object of meditation can be anything that you are familiar with. If you have cultivated accordingly, train your mind accordingly, and stabilize your sati using whatever skillful means or method and technique, your final object of meditation, the awareness of it, will become very different. You will reach a stage of tranquility or stillness of mind, where even your object of meditation, for example, anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, they will become very subtle, very still, like no more breathing. So when you can reach that stage, it's a sign of good progress. But don't panic. Most people don't know what to do when they reach that stage. It doesn't mean you don't breathe. You breathe, but very subtle. It has become internal breathing. You breathe internally. So what you should do is you should relax, silence everything, and just maintain awareness. Allow the stillness to stabilize. Just stay with the object of meditation. No movement, no problem. Just maintain that silence. You can maintain for as long as you can. Finally, you will understand what the silent mind is. The enlightenment factor of paucity will arise. That is, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought, that is just aware naturally on its own. So when you can develop that stability of awareness, then your mind will enter sati. Sati will become natural. Then you can meditate very easily. Then whatever you do during the meditation, any other mind or contact or sense or contact, they will become like very clear. Sometimes whatever slightest movement or activity is like very, very clear to you. Then your mind becomes extraordinarily sensitive. All of the subtle movement is like magnified through mindfulness, awareness, like you can be aware of it with clarity. Then later on, even the subtle breathing will become clear to you. The very subtle movement activity will become clear. Then you maintain that silence, just stay with it. Then you can, after that, lie down, lie down. Then if you do anapanasati, sooner or later, the breathing will become very subtle and very quiet. Then you realize the mind is in sati, paucity. When you reach that state, wherever you locate this mind, you become very sensitive. It can feel many things. If you move it to your heart, you can feel your heartbeat without using anything. You don't need stethoscope or whatever. You just silent it, feel it will arise. You will be very sensitive to whatever vibration. wherever you locate this mind is just aware. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind. Just stay with it. Then you will understand many things. You will see all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. Okay, now I let you train your mind, develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell. After about 20 minutes. Thank you. others still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties of devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages. Excuse me. Which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Piti peso bhagava arahan sama sambuddho Vicca charana sam Sugato loka vidho Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditambo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Jayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato sakka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakka sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang, Dokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Can let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami นามังปุจเจมิสังหังปุจเจมิโอเคWe are at chapter 7, page 103. The Buddha and his teaching by Venerable Narada. So I will go through your chapter 7, the teaching of the Buddha. The teachingsOf the Dhamma. Happy is the birth of Buddhas. Happy is the teaching of the sublime Dhamma. Happy is the happy is the unity of the Sangha. Happy is the discipline of the united ones. So this one is part of the Dhammapada verse. Then the first part is the conversion of Yasa and his friend. In Benares, there was a millionaire son named Yasa who led a luxurious life. One morning, he rose early and in his utter disgust saw his female attendants and musicians asleep in repulsive attitude. The whole spectacle was so disgusting that the palace presented the gloomy appearance of a charnel house. Realizing the vanity of worldly life, he stole away from home, saying, "Distressed am I, oppressed am I," and went in the direction of Isipatthana, where the Buddha was temporarily residing after having made the 5 bhikkhu attain arhatship. That is after he has delivered the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, followed by Anattalakkhana Sutta to the 5 bhikkhu, the 5 ascetic that joined him earlier on. Then after that, all of them become arahant. So this, you look at note 1. This event took place on the 6th day. Sorry, on the 5th day. After the delivery of the first sermon, when all the 5 bhikkhu had attained arahantship. So, 5th day, I need this back, with all. Okay, that was on the 5th day. So this Yasa, the son of a millionaire, that time they also call him millionaire. So as a very wealthy child who may inherit the father's assets, property and money, so he used to have all this female attendants, musician, and all those people who attended to him and served him. Then I think they must have a function going on. Then everybody who was there, I think after that night of celebration or what, they must have a good time. Then they became so wild, so carried away, so that what happened during the night, because of the heedlessness and whatever activity that was going on leading to all this condition. When he woke up, he saw all of the female attendants together with those musician or they were asleep in repulsive attitude, means not the normally conducted manner. So because of that, this yasa, he must have some cultivation from the past. Then he couldn't like accept what he saw. So because of that, he became frustrated, unhappy. So to his utter disgust, he walked out of the place towards the direction of Isipathana, where the Buddha was temporarily residing. So that was the story. Yeah? Then at that particular time, the Buddha, as usual, was pacing up and down in an open space. Seeing him coming from afar, the Buddha came out of his ambulatory and sat on a prepared seat. Not far from him stood Yasa, crying, "Oh, distressed am I, oppressed am I." Thereupon the Buddha said, "Here there is no distress, O Yasa. Here there is no oppression, O Yasa. Come hither, Yasa, take a seat. I shall expound the Dhamma to you." The distressed Yasa was pleased to hear the encouraging words of the Buddha. Removing his golden sandal, he approached the Buddha respectfully, saluted him, and sat on one side. The Buddha expounded the doctrine to him, and he attained the first stage of sainthood, Sotapatti. So very easy. First stage of sainthood is nothing, kacang. Like taking groundnuts. So we see what the Buddha spoke. At first, the Buddha spoke to him on generosity, dana, then sila, morality, then celestial states, saga, the evil of sensual pleasure, kama, dinava, the blessing of renunciation, nikama, nisamsa. When he found that his mind was pliable and was ready to appreciate the deeper teaching, he taught him the Four Noble Truths. See? Just by doing that, he became a Sotapan. You can follow roughly the gist behind this teaching or not? Let's discuss this. Let's say now you have some Dhamma, some understanding. Somebody confronted life with a lot of problems, suffering, then bump into you. What can you do to help this person? What can you do to help this person? Let's take Yasa's case. After he saw all this thing, then he told the Buddha, he said, "Oh, oppressed am I. Oh, distressed am I." He's having so much problem. So what is it that the Buddha taught him? Do you know why the Buddha start with all this? Because these are easy to understand. And this is something that will allow him to understand his situation very well, so that his mind can calm down and develop the faith towards the person who spoke all this to him. That's why he is ready to receive truth. And when he is ready to receive truth, what did the Buddha teach him? Louder. Four Noble Truths. And what is the Four Noble Truths? The essence of his teaching. That's why he can become a Sotapan. So there are various ways the teaching can be expounded, taught and shared. You know why he shared generosity or dhanaparami with Yasa? Can you make a guess why the Buddha spoke on generosity first? You must give it a try, otherwise you won't learn. Otherwise you only wait for answer. Based on your understanding, what do you think? Who is Yasa? Son of a millionaire. So he got a lot of money there. Correct or not? So if he got a lot of money, you talk to him about generosity, can he understand? He will understand it there. He got a lot of money to do generosity. So that's why the Buddha explained, spoke to him on Dhanaparami, generosity. If you have generosity, you will receive all this. That's how he become wealthy. That's how his father become wealthy. So this is the Dhamma, generosity. So you shouldn't waste your money on all those, what they call, sensual thing that lead to heedlessness. That's what the Buddha is trying to tell him. Then the Buddha explained the next one is morality, sila. Do you know why he explained sila to Yasa? Because without morality, you create negativity of karma, you become heedless, and you can do a lot of funny things. Especially if you have all this music, good food, wine, drinks, drunk, or alcohol, then it can lead to a lot of karmic negativity. Sometimes because of the alcohol, the effect of liquor or wine, you become heedless and you may violate a lot of the precepts. So after he shared on these two, he shared on the celestial state. So he said, if you have a lot of generosity, you keep your precept, you can take birth in the heavens. That's why these are called the heavenly state or celestial realm. Then he also talked about the evil or sensual pleasure that lead to heedlessness and downfall. When you have a lot of sensual indulgence, it leads to a lot of heedlessness and it leads to downfall. Then you can like spend your time on woman, food, wine, listening to music and become what they call, what is that word already? Like you like to waste your time on all this so-called enjoyment. Some like to go for vices. Then some go for gambling, horse racing and all those things, and various type of entertainment. Then unseen show and all those obscene shows and all those things. Then he continued to talk about the blessing of renunciation. Renunciation means you renounce the world to develop heedfulness, leading to understanding, meditation. So once you do that, the blessings of renunciation can lead to enlightenment, can lead to clear mind, awakening, no more heedless living. And through that, the enlightened mind that has awakened can understand all this clearly and develop the virtue, the merits, the blessing, the understanding accordingly, so that one does not suffer anymore. Then in order to teach him the deeper Dhamma, the Buddha, after sharing all this, he found that Yasa's mind has become different. His mind was pliable and was ready to appreciate the deeper teaching. Hence, the Buddha teach him the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths, as we have gone through, these are the essence of his teaching and is also the secret of life. All of life can be summarized into just Four Noble Truths. And these are called Noble Truths because they are truths that can make you Noble Ones or Enlightened Ones. That's why this Four-Noble Truths are very powerful. So let us go through this Four-Noble Truths. We discuss it so that you can have deeper understanding. Then hopefully, like Yasa, you all also can awaken, at least to the first stage of sainthood. Okay, now we start. What is the first noble truth? Come. Share, like Dhamma discussion. Just put up your hand. I think the speaker is, the mic is there. Raise your hand, then you can share. Come, who want to start? Until now, I don't think you need explanation, isn't it? For the motto. Sue is going to go home already. We let her try. Sue, come. What is the first noble truth? The usual answer, suffering. you put it in proper words. Just try, based on what you understand. I think you understand, no problem. The first noble truth of dukkha, what did the Buddha actually proclaim? There is a noble truth that explain what? What is the first noble truth? Use the mic. It's about suffering, is correct. But what are the actual understanding that you have? Did the Buddha say life is suffering? The first noble truth, he never said that, isn't it? He just proclaimed to people the reality of life and existence, isn't it? And the reality of life and existence, he said, there are 8 conditions in this world. When you confront them, if you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, then suffering will arise. That is the first noble truth. That's why the first noble truth is about the noble truth of dukkha. Means suffering itself is a noble truth. It doesn't mean life is suffering. Do you understand? Can you see that part clearly? And what is it that is suffering? The Buddha said, in this world, suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence if you don't have the understanding of this teaching, the Dhamma. That's why suffering can cause a lot of misery, affliction to living beings. And if you live life long enough, you will confront all of the realities of life and existence. And this reality of life and existence, the Buddha already summarized them. He said there are 8 of this reality. The first 4 is what? First 4 is what? Louder. Who was it just now I heard? Yeah, pass the mic to the first 4 reality. Good. Birth, old age, sickness and death. You reflect on this. Are this reality that everyone needs to confront sooner or later? If you live long enough, you have to confront birth, you have to go through old age, getting sick, developing disease, then one day you have to die. And this reality exists in the midst of existence, and these are reality that pertain to every living being, not only you. That's why it's called a reality. And when you are confronted with birth, old age, sickness and death, can you cope? Do you have the understanding to maintain your composure, to accept this reality and still have the peacefulness of mind, the joy, the understanding to confront them with wisdom? Most people can't. Most people are afflicted. They become miserable. Especially old age, sickness and death. Even birth, when there is complication, it can lead to a lot of suffering, misery. Then certain type of situation can be very traumatic to the family members, the loved ones, and even to that being itself. So these are the realities. Like the Buddha said, wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness and death. And this reality, you have to confront. You don't have the Dhamma, the wisdom, the understanding, you will suffer. And that is what the First Noble Truth is all about. It doesn't mean life is suffering. No. The Buddha said, when you confront this reality without understanding, you suffer. Means, in this world, suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering. But suffering only exists when there is no understanding or wisdom. When there is a lack of understanding of this Noble Truth. Then the next four, what are they? The fifth one, fifth reality is what? Separation? From your loved one and choice, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. That's why in the five daily contemplation, the first four pertain to all this. The Buddha said you have to reflect every day to understand this Noble Truth, the first Noble Truth of Dukkha, this reality. That's why he said reflect that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die one day. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Why? Because this body made up of element will go the way of nature. Follow nature's law. It doesn't belong to you. That's why you will experience old age, sickness and death. And you are not the only one experiencing this reality. Each and every living being who live long enough has to confront them. So the only difference between the one who suffer and the one who don't is understanding. The one who don't suffer understand this reality because he is reflected, contemplated, as advised by the Buddha. Every day you do that until it becomes very clear to you. Then you can confront old age, sickness and death with ease. No more problem. When the time comes, your mind is different. You will not be deluded by this body anymore. You will not be deceived by what you see. Where this our element goes the way of nature, you will experience all this. And this is not you. That's why you can accept the reality. Then you do what you have to do. Then when you have this wisdom and understanding, there is no more attachment, no more craving, no more clinging, no more grasping onto this form. That's how you can free your mind. So you can use this physical form or vehicle that you are endowed with karmically conditioned for you to use. So use them wisely with understanding so that you don't have to worry about it getting sick, getting old and die. And this is the teaching. Can you follow? Then, after that, what did the Buddha teach? The fourth contemplation. He asks us to reflect on what? What is the fourth daily contemplation? Cannot remember. Open up your chanting book. Last page. Read. Hey, serious. If you cannot remember, you better read it out. You're supposed to reflect, contemplate, understand this. Read it out. Five daily contents, not the last page, sorry, the last of the Dhamma page, I think. No, the last of the Dhamma page. Yeah? What is the page? Yeah? Page what? 17. Okay, read together. Ayo. Wait. 1, 2, 3, start. So this one you have to reflect, contemplate, and read with understanding. Not just like parrot like that. You have to reflect. All of our loved ones. Then you have to reflect, miss. Loved one, who are your loved ones? You just don't just read like that. No. All of our loved ones, then finish. All of our loved ones, who are they? Your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters. And then you got this feeling of loved ones, understand? Your good friend. People whom you have great respect or affection for. Especially your parents. Or somebody who has taught you well, guided you, helped you before. Then your own spouse, your own children, your brothers, your sisters, your good friends, and all those people who has helped you before, taught you, guide you. Then your wealth, your property, these are the things you hold on to dearly, and other prized possession, etc., which we held on to so dearly. Like your reputation, your title, your profession, your honor. So all these are the things that you hold on to dearly. And the Buddha said you have to reflect. They will all one day separate from you. Have you all reflected? All that you think you own, your loved one, your possession, they are never yours. So that when it comes, the reality really comes and hit you, you are ready to confront them. Because you understand that they are not really you. For they were all one day separate from you. Either you separate from them when your breath stops, or when conditions cease to be, they will also separate from you. You don't own anything. That's why when you come during birth, you come with nothing. Empty, you arrive. When you leave this world, again, you leave without anything. You cannot take along any of this. So this is the daily contemplation that you have to contemplate. So that you will not lament or at the point of pending death. You know what a lot of people experience? The fear of dying. The fear of losing their loved ones. Then even when they are still alive, when certain things happen, like economic disaster or nature's disaster, then they got this fear of losing what they own. Then when they make a mistake in life, a bad call, a bad decision, it may be an investment or a decision that give rise to a lot of negativity, negative consequences that can lead to complete devastation or losing everything you own. Especially during economic crisis. So all these are the reality of life and existence. And the Buddha said, don't wait till you are hit. Then only you become afflicted, miserable. So if you have contemplated into this, then you will know how to die. Then you will accept separation with ease. And separation can happen in many ways, like we discussed before. Of course, the first very treacherous or tragic way is, or traumatic way is through death. Either disease, accident, natural disaster, can be building collapse, earthquake, tsunami, or even kidnap, snatch thief, many other possibilities. Then separation can be also in the form of relationship failure, understand? Divorce, relationship breakup. Then when you lose your job, there is also separation, understand? Then when economic crisis hit, you experience pay cut, then later on retrenchment. Then your investment affected, your business cash flow affected. Then you have to follow up your business, retrench your worker, pay compensation. If you got loan, you have to deal with the banks. Then you may have to file for bankruptcy and all those things. And all this can be very traumatic if you don't have the Dhamma, the understanding. Then there are other various type of separation. So if you have reflected deep into all this, when you go through life, you got no more problem. You can accept all this reality. Well, first, you have to come to terms with this reality. When condition is there, you may like own them. When condition cease to be, all this was separate from you. This is the reality of life and existence. They follow Nietzsche's law. Then not necessary if you think you are still young, you were yet to live so long. Sometimes death can occur anytime. It doesn't mean average lifespan 75, 76, you will live until 75, 76. No, or somewhere near there. No. So when premature death happens, when your breath stops, it can be due to anything. Accident, disease, or even whatever cause of death. When your breath stops, your identity erased, you cannot own anything. So either they separate from you or you were separate from them. So this reality is very important. You have to understand. So that suffering need not be when you confront them with understanding and wisdom, where you have reflected on it deeply. And this one, you must do it until it becomes very clear to you that you don't own anything. Then as you meditate, you develop further understanding. You understand the form and mind is not you. It is also dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. That's why it's a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned for you to come to this world, to use, to live life, to experience all the good and bad of the karmic condition behind. So when you have all this, you will not be deceived by what you see, what your senses perceive, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So all this reality of life and existence, you can confront them. You can be at peace with them. And your mind will not be affected. Like just now in the car while we were going for dinner, I remember. I think Sue shared something very nice with us. He was talking about, I think, another Dhamma friends. They were discussing something. Then this Dhamma friend say, "Ah yeah, people are like that. No need to worry about them. We just like let them be or whatever, something like that." Oh, then she replied in a very wise way, you know. She said, no, we shouldn't do that. We should be mindful and make sure our mind doesn't stir. Oh, that is more wise, isn't it? True or not? Eh? Instead of, they are like that one, lah. Don't care. Lah. Ah, yeah. These people cannot help one. Lah. Means you yourself also affected. But if you have the understanding, if you are mindful and heedful, when you confront this reality, you can accept them for what they are, then you are at peace, isn't it? Means you make sure your mind does not stir and react to all this, then you can be at peace. Otherwise, not easy. Huh? As you go through life, you confront many realities. Huh? So this is the fifth one. What is the sixth one? Yeah? When you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said. So when you are with people whom you don't like, what happened? Yeah? Who are the people whom you don't like? Your enemy. Right? Then, those who bully you. Even in the office, they got this, what they call bosses that are very unreasonable. Management by fear and harassment. They harass you to deliver, give you a deadline, stress you out, put pressure on you. Then sometimes because of the job scope, you have bosses that are very, very immoral. They can even force their staff submit to them. They call this sexual harassment. They harass you because they know you need the job. Then they make use of their authority. Then sometimes you may have step parents, step mother, step father. Then sometimes you may also confront what they call people who put fear in you, that cause a lot of panic in you. Sometimes they just like they threaten you with a lot of other things. You don't agree, then I report this to the police. Or you don't agree, then we may sack you. They threaten you with all this. Then sometimes in politics also same. You don't subscribe to their ideology or their way, they will take everything away from you. So these are the people whom you may have to confront, and they are not easy. When you are with people whom you don't like, or who give you problem, who is capable of inflicting fear in you, stress you out, make your life miserable. So all this can be very traumatic, very, very traumatic. Then sometimes when you are very young, you may go through a lot of child abuse. Child abuse is another one. So all this can be very traumatic psychologically, the memory of it. So when you are with people whom you don't like, even in the school, the children may have to confront these bullies, the one that take money from you. What you call them? Extortionist, extort money from you. So these are the people you find it very difficult to be with. So when you are with people whom you don't like, how can you develop the understanding to be at peace with them? because it is a reality. How can you overcome all this negativity or situation or condition that you may be confronted with? And this reality is not easy to deal. Without the Dhamma, it can be very difficult. Because people who are in the position of authority, they can do a lot of funny things to you. Then if you are a kid, when you are very young, you are subject to a lot of this child abuse, abusive treatment. Some they really torture you. Like you have seen in the papers, the maids got beaten up. Then the maid throw or pour back the anger at that child. You see the way they, through the video recorded, the maid, because they are also from my mind, got emotion. When they have this fear, pressure, stress, they also become very, very emotional, and they can do a lot of funny things too. So the world is full of this type of condition or reality that can lead to serious suffering, misery. So what we need to develop is the understanding of it. Then we move on to the 7th one, then the final 8th one, then we move on. The 7th one is, what is the 7th reality? When your expectation in life is not met. When you cannot get what you want. When things don't go your way, suffering can arise. So this is the 7th reality. So this one is very common in life. You have to reflect and contemplate. Because we expect a lot of things in life. We expect our parents to love us, provide for us, care for us. Then sometimes you, in the office, you think you have done very well. You expect to be promoted, but the promotion never come. Then sometimes you expect your own brother and sister to understand you better, to at least treat you better than what other people treat you. So when the expectation is not met, misunderstanding can arise. Sometimes anger, hatred can arise. So these are human character, human emotion, human nature. You perceive it in negativity, then all this can arise. So when things don't go your way, expectations in life are not met, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. So this reality you have to check. And like the 6th one, you have to develop understanding and wisdom. And the understanding and wisdom can only come through meditation. Just like the Buddha said, you must cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Through Noble Eightfold Path, you develop the understanding. Then you can free. And this is what basically the Four Noble Truths is all about. Then he summarized all of life. He said, in short, the 8th reality is when you deludedly grasp and cling to this 5 aggregate of form and mind, the human being, thinking that it's you, it is real, then that delusion, he called it self-delusion, sakkayaditti, is the cause of suffering. That's why he said this 5 aggregate of grasping, born of self-delusion, is suffering. Upadana khandas is suffering. So that is the final summary. So we need to reflect and inquire deep into this 8th reality that summarizes all of suffering as the attachment to the 5 aggregate of form and mind. We have to inquire, contemplate, reflect deep. Why did the Buddha say this? And how can I understand this? To understand this, you must understand what the 5 aggregate is all about. That's why in our sharing, our teaching, I teach you the 2 aspects of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. One is as a human being. We have a physical body and a consciousness or mind that is trapped inside. So the physical form is the form. The mind, which is the consciousness trapped inside, is the other aggregate. That's why Nama Rupa, form and mind. And the mind, the Buddha, further subdivide into four more aggregate. To understand, you have to inquire. What can your mind do? Your mind can feel. That's why there is a feeling aggregate of Vedana. Your mind can perceive. That's why it has this ability to perceive. The aggregate of perception is sanya. Then the mind can think, arise mental activity, mental states. Everything that your mind can do. Mental intention. Then your whatever cunningness, deceptiveness, your planning, your whatever mental images that you create. So all this is called sankhara. Sankhara are mental activity, mental states, or everything that your mind can do. Whatever that your mind is capable of arising, that is sankhara, including all the feeling and perception. So this is the third aggregate, and this one is the most commonly used word by the Buddha. That's why he said all of sankhara is impermanent. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara lead to suffering. Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. That all of dhamma is anatta, non-self, empty. Dhamma means it includes the conditioned and the unconditioned. So all this, they are in the teaching. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate is the mental five aggregate. Every moment of sense door experience or sense door consciousness, upon contact, consciousness arise. Then within that consciousness, we input the content of consciousness. And this content, as we know, the four aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness is there. But then how did the mental form enter that consciousness? It's through your perception aggregate. That's why sanya is separated out. Sanya brings the external form into the mind. That's how the fifth aggregate enters the mind. Then you also have form and mind within the consciousness itself. And that is the one the Buddha wants you to develop, the understanding through meditation. That's why you must have mindfulness to see the five aggregate of form and mind, to see the content of consciousness, the five mental hindrance, seven factors of enlightenment, the sense basis and all those things. And all these are in the teaching. So this is the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence. Always remember, it explained to us clearly what life is all about. It's reality, and it's the condition that leads to suffering. So the realities of life and existence is basically the first noble truth. So this first noble truth the Buddha proclaimed, and let this yasa understand that you have to confront all this sooner or later. If you don't meditate, develop the wisdom, you will be afflicted. You will become miserable. So the same question goes to you. Are you serious about life? Have you really worked yourself, prepare yourself to live life, to confront the world? Have you done enough inquiry, reflection and contemplation into this first noble truth? A lot of Buddhists fail to do this. They always think the four noble truth is for the kindergarten children. Sunday school, they learn four noble truth. Whereas they, more advanced, they talk about meditation. They talk about vipassana, the four foundations of mindfulness, and all the big words, jhana, jnana, and other things. They overlook the importance of the four noble truths. So this four noble truths are very important. The first noble truth, you have to go deep into it. Then the Buddha moved on to awaken Yasa. After that, he said, after understanding this reality, you should determine to develop the understanding to free your mind so that you know how to confront this reality later on. So the Buddha moved on to the second noble truth. So what is the second noble truth? Now you tell me. Second noble truth. Somebody just pick up the thing and answer me. You should learn from this Dhamma discussion, otherwise you never understand. Otherwise you listen, I don't think you listen to the recording again after that. Most of you don't, unless you are the serious one. And the serious one, when you listen to the recording also, because you think this one is brother till every time repeat. You never listen. The art of listening is listen attentively to understand the deep meaning. So now I ask you a simple question. What is the second noble truth? Use the mic. Please. Just now, who was it? Sue? Yes. Suffering need not be, yes, but the cause of suffering is, the second noble truth is about the cause of suffering. So what is the cause of suffering? Suffering need not be is the third noble truth. Understand that? Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So it gives Yasa hope, because the Buddha said all this suffering need not be, because when you understand his teaching, you can realize this enlightenment in the here and the now. Nibbana can be realized. So that give you hope, give you faith and understanding. Then the Buddha never end there. He never keep you in suspense. He never say, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So you got hope, you got faith, but you don't know how to do. That's why the Buddha continue with the fourth noble truth. He said, if you cultivate this fourth noble truth, which is the noble truth of cessation of suffering, he said, there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And that is the fourth noble truth, and that is also the meditation. So just now, when I asked about the second noble truth, Sue have not answered that part yet. Second noble truth is about the cause of suffering, which is what? Use the mic. Queenie. What is the origination of suffering? Push the mic out. You didn't push it out, I think. No, you didn't push the mic out. It's on already. Oh, okay. Then face it on your mouth. No. Put like that. Put this speaker on your yes. The origination of suffering. What is the origination? The cause. What is the cause? The cause of suffering is what? Oh, the battery, Sorry, come. Use the mic, pass the mic to her.
It's actually craving.
Craving.
craving for pleasure, craving for a lot of things that you want to crave.
Okay, thank you, Winnie. Yes, the cause of suffering is craving. Somehow this mic, I think the battery con. just give me a minute, I check the polarity. Battery is out. We need to buy battery. Never mind. Okay, the cause of suffering is craving, which is correct. Then there are three types of craving, the Buddha explained. What are the three types of craving? Yes, craving for existence or craving to be. Yeah, craving for non-existent or craving not to be. Then there is this sensual craving. Kama tanha. Craving is called tanha in Pali. So when the Buddha explained this, Yasa must have understood. Because craving is very easy to understand. Before that, he already explained to Yasa about the danger of sensual indulgence that leads to downfall. Then attachment, which is a type of craving, positive craving, when you attach to something you like. Your craving, your desire, your lust, your covetousness, all these are craving. You crave to have those things. You desire to have those things. Then the negative craving, which is your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, things that you don't like, you want to push it away. So these are the causes of suffering. So if you look at life, the realities of life and existence, you will experience a lot of this. You will be able to relate to this noble truth, the second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering. So what will happen when you understand what suffering is and the cause behind it? What will you do when you have these two understanding? You will manage your life better, isn't it? Well, now that you understand the teaching, you know the eight reality can give rise to suffering. You don't have the wisdom, the understanding. And the cause of suffering is always craving. Craving, or craving can be positive or negative. Then craving to be and not to be. So now we check the first four reality: birth, old age, sickness, and death. If you have craving, means what? You have attachment to these four things. Do you understand? Yeah? You attach to the newborn baby, the child. So if you attach, if something were to happen to the baby, what happened? Do you suffer? You will suffer, isn't it? You say, this is my child. If they get sick, you also suffer. Or you yourself, this physical body, get sick, you also feel miserable. Then as it goes through old age, like your parents, your grandparents, you see them getting so fragile, so weak. You see the result of aging. Their senses starts to fail them. Their health starts to deteriorate. Then sometimes their organ also start to fail them. Then you start to witness all of the suffering that comes with getting old. There are some who become blind. There are some who develop what they call rheumatism. Then they have movement problem. They have severe health problem. Then sometimes they can't even walk. They can't even eat. Then sometimes they got Alzheimer, or what they call dementia. They tend to forget things. Then there is a lot of other things that come with getting old, Parkinson's disease and all those things. The weakness of your leg to carry yourself, to walk properly. So sometimes you have to be bedridden on a wheelchair and all those things. Hopefully with technology, some of this can become like overcome. But you need to have the means to enjoy them. You have to pay for them, and most of these are not cheap. Then you have to be on medication. Some got difficulty in breathing, some because of stroke, HIV, very traumatic type of disease. So getting through life, confronting old age, sickness and disease is not easy. And all this is because we attach, we have craving. We attach to this physical body, doesn't want it to fall sick, get old and die. Because we attach and cling to this physical body, thinking that it's ours. Then of course the last one is death. Death is the most frightening. And most people cannot accept death. They fear death tremendously because of delusion, not understanding the reality of this form of mind. That's the reason why the Buddha said you have to meditate, you have to develop the clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and see clearly that this physical body and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, hence it's not you, not real. And because they are dependent originating condition arising, they are empty, no reality. That's why anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, the three universal characteristics of life and existence, you have to insight into and awaken clearly to its reality. Without that understanding and wisdom, you cannot confront life. The first noble truth, reality, you cannot confront. And without understanding the second noble truth, which is the cause of suffering due to your craving. And behind craving is self-delusion. That's why sakkaya ditti, leading to grasping, clinging, attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. That's the reason why the Buddha summarized all of suffering, the first noble truth, as the five grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. Because from craving it conditioned grasping. And that is the cause of suffering. So without craving, without grasping, there is no suffering. So like separation from loved one, the fifth reality is the same. Because you attach to your loved one, to your prized possession, your property, your wealth, thinking that you own. That's why it's the cause of suffering. If you don't have such delusion, it will not affect you. It's only a reality. Separation has to occur or happen because these are reality of life and existence. You cannot do anything to it. We have the form go this way. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Nothing is real. As real it can be, it's only within the moment. That split second, that moment is gone. So these are the clear understanding of the Dhamma that you have to develop through meditation. So that this understanding is very clear in your nature. And this is what we call wisdom, panya. And when wisdom arises, the form and mind connected to it, this form and mind will no longer be deluded and deceived by the phenomenal world, by the reality of life and existence. That's the reason why this Four Noble Truths, they are very powerful. So the Buddha explained to Yasa the First Noble Truth, the Eighth Reality, then the cause of arising of suffering that lead to attachment, clinging, grasping. Of course, craving for existence and non-existence is when you are working, when you live your life as an individual, you have a title, like you are a graduate, you are the son, you are the parent, you play the role of different entity. If you have your career, your profession, let's say you are a doctor, then that is your entity, craving to be. Then when you finally graduate and able to become a doctor, then you realize becoming a doctor is not easy, having a lot of problems. Then when you have too much problem, so stressed out, you don't want to be a doctor. So craving not to be. And all this do happen to politicians, to high office people, because it's a hot seat. Sooner or later, you feel the heat. And all this craving will bring about disaster, failure, or finally suffering, agony. So craving in whatever way will lead to suffering if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to confront them. The cause is always craving, born of self-delusion. So craving is something that you need to realize, insight into, that this is a delusion. Because when you yourself don't exist, how can the entity that is impermanent own anything? That's the reason why the Buddha in his teaching, the Dhammapada saying, he said, this famous saying, I always recite to you, but today I cannot recall. Ah, my son, my wealth, my possession. This, he said, only the fool's lament. For that very body, he cannot own. Also don't belong to him. Then, wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein possession. So all this, when you reflect and contemplate, then you realize, yeah, the world is not what we think. We can't even own our physical body and mind. This so-called form and mind doesn't belong to us. They belong to nature. From nature it comes, to nature it returns. So when you see this clearly, then you are different. You awaken. You liberate your mind. That's how Yasa can become a Sotapanna. Understand? Understanding clearly that this is not you. Finish. Problem solved. Like the Buddha, when he saw the four signs, he decided to renounce the world. And what are the four signs? He saw a old man, or old person, very old, very sick. Then a deaf person. So these three things make him very, very uneasy. he realized that life is not what he has thought all this while. Because he was given the four palace for the four seasons by the Father. And he never see any old people, diseased people or dead people. He never knew about this reality until when he went out of the palace with the attendant. Then he saw all this. Then he realized, after talking to his attendant, you mean one day I will also become like that very old people, diseased people. And one day this body and mind of mine also will die. Then he realized life is not what he thinks. He has a problem. He cannot escape old age, sickness and death. Well, he thinks this physical body and mind is what he is. That's where sakayaditi is. Self-delusion leading to attachment, craving, clinging. That's how he get himself locked. Then he decided to follow the fourth sign, a samana. That's why he decided to renounce the world, put on the robe, cut off his hair, and search for truth. Then when he go for and search, then he realized this profound truth, that this physical body and mind is not him. Karmically conditioned now for him to come. That's why his problem solved. Yasa also become a sotapan, first stage of sainthood, straight away. Where he come to realize the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths, when he hit the second Noble Truth, Yasa already understood. The cause of suffering is attachment, craving to this five degree of form and mind, thinking that it's you. If you don't have that delusion, your self-delusion, first fetter, severed. And the moment the first fetter is severed, your mind liberate actually. Then the second and third fetter also will follow. Second is right and ritual. They will not deceive you anymore. Then you will also have the third ability to sever the third fetters, which is the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. It will become unshakable. Then the third noble truth is the most beautiful. When the Buddha expounded the third noble truth to Yasa, just like what Su mentioned, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So straight away Yasa was excited. Then when he came to the fourth noble truth, he told Yasa, there is this noble truth that explains clearly to you the Noble Eightfold Path. If you were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the meditation, because you meditate to free your mind, to be free of all suffering. And the one that can lead to all the cessation of all suffering is the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why this is the meditation. And after Yasa heard this, he already became a sotapan. So if he want to progress further, he will need to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path start with right view, the three type of right view. Kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then when you have this right view, you will know how to cultivate accordingly, following the advice of the Buddha, to develop heedfulness, awareness, to be mindful of your thought process. That's why right view will lead to right thought, right speech, right action, then right livelihood. Then the four right effort to constantly purify, which we have control. Then you will have right mindfulness and right samadhi. So this Noble Eightfold Path, if you put them into practice, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the awakening. And you can only do that provided you have mindfulness, very stable. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditative. Combine these two, it becomes heedfulness, appamada. And the Buddha make it very clear, Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, heedlessness lead to the path of the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without mindfulness, without the stability of this daily mindfulness, you cannot cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path is related to life, life itself. All the eight path factors are related to life. And without this Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot understand life. You cannot develop the wisdom, the understanding to liberate your mind. So that summarizes what that Four Noble Truth is. Yeah? By now, I hope it's clear to you, for those who haven't put in the appropriate right effort to cultivate this Four Noble Truth understanding, I suggest you better go into it so that you understand it very clearly. Yeah? Then you may awaken. Yeah? And for most of you, if you have the faith, it's not difficult, it's very easy, I can tell you. During this period, the sasana is still around. The consciousness is still very conducive. The nature of all these great beings, they are all there to help you. That's why the sasana is a very important window that you should not miss. You should make full use of it to awaken and to set everything in place. Make the vow, make the aspiration. That's why that book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, you should read through it again and again and develop the understanding, then put it into practice, so that your future all taken care of. That is the most important. Okay? Any question? Don't have? You want to rejoice, you better rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, to become an Arya is not difficult. You look at Yasa, just like that. Sotapan already. So what about you all? Okay, turn to page 104. You go on. Yasa's mother was the first to notice the absence of her son, and she reported the matter to her husband. The millionaire immediately dispatched horsemen in four directions, and he himself went towards Isipatana, following the imprint of the golden slipper. The Buddha saw him coming from afar, and by his psychic ability willed that he should not be able to see his son. Oh, the Buddha can do that. The millionaire approached the Buddha and respectfully inquired whether he had seen his son Yasa. "Well then, sit down here, please. You should be able to see your son," said the Buddha. Pleased with the happy news, he sat down. The Buddha delivered a discourse to him, and he was so delighted, and he exclaimed, "Excellent, O Lord, excellent. It is as if, Lord, a man were to sit right, to set upright that which was overturned, or were to reveal that which was hidden, or were to point out the way to one who has gone astray, or were to hold a lamp amidst the darkness, so that those who have eyes may see. Even so has the doctrine or teaching been expounded in various ways by the Exalted One. I, Lord, take refuge in the Buddha, the teaching and the order. May the Lord receive me as a follower who has taken refuge from this very day to life's end." He was the first lay follower to seek refuge with the threefold formula. See? The millionaire son got parami. The millionaire got parami. On hearing the discourse delivered to his father, "Wah! Yasa attain arhanshiva." So easy. Thereupon the Buddha withdraw his will psychic power, so that Yasa's father may be able to see his son. The millionaire beheld his son and invited the Buddha and his disciple for alms on the following day. The Buddha expressed his acceptance of the invitation by his silence. So sometimes when this noble ones or enlightened ones, they keep silent doesn't mean they reject you. Don't simply assume. Brother Teo didn't say anything. I think he don't like my idea. Then this Yasa's father not like you, so stupid. Silent means consent. Anasana. If they don't agree on what they will tell you. But if they smile, means okay. Next page. After the departure of the millionaire, Yasa begged the Buddha to grant him the lesser and the higher ordination. Come, O Bhikkhu, well taught is the doctrine. Lead the holy life to make a complete end of suffering. With these words, the Buddha conferred him the higher ordination. With the venerable Yasa, the number of arahant increased to 6. Oh, very fast, huh? Venerable Yasa's mother and his former wife heard the doctrine expounded by the Buddha, and having attained the first stage of sainthood, became his first two lay female follower. See? You got husband that has good roots, or maybe later on a wife that have good roots, it can help you. That's why here you see the millionaire and Yasa, the son, help the wife and the mother to become Sotapan. Then the notes, you can read. Papaja means going for or renunciation. It's meant the mere admission into the holy order by seeking refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Then in the early days of the order of higher ordination, Upasampadan, replete with the higher morality, was granted with these words. Upasaka and Upasika, one who closely associate with the Triple Gem. These two terms are applied to male and female lay follower of the Buddha. One becomes an Upasaka or Upasika immediately after taking the three refuge. So you can call yourself Upasika or Upasaka, because you already taken refuge. Buddhang saranangacchami, Dhammang saranangacchami, Sanghang saranangacchami. This is the threefold refuge. So this is to develop understanding. Wow, so fast, almost 10:30 already. Venerable Yasa has four distinguished friends named Vimala, Subahu, Punaji, and Gavampati. When they heard that the noble friend shaved his hair and beard, and donning the yellow robe, entering the homeless life, they approached Venerable Yasa and expressed their desire to follow his example. Venerable Yasa introduced them to the Buddha, and on hearing the Dhamma, they also become arahan. So easy. See? Now all arahan already, the alarm sound already. Dung dung dung, dung dung dung. 50 more worthy friends of Venerable Yasa, who belong to the leading families of various districts, also receive instruction from the Buddha, attain arahantship and enter the holy order. Hardly 2 months has left since his enlightenment, when the number of arahant rose to 60. All of them came from distinguished family and were worthy son of the worthy father. So the next topic is the first messenger of truth. We call it Dhammaduta. When you go and promote the teaching or share this teaching with the world, they call it Dhammaduta. The Buddha, who before long succeeded in enlightening 60 disciples, decided to send them as messenger of truth to teach his new Dhamma to all, without any distinction. Before dispatching them in various directions, he exhorted them as follows. Free am I, O Bhikkhu, from all bonds, whether divine or human. You too, O Bhikkhu, are free from all bond, whether divine or human. This instruction is very good. Go for Bhikkhu, O Bhikkhu, for the good of the many, for the happiness of the many, out of compassion for the world, for the good, benefit and happiness of God and man. Let not two go by one way. Preach, O Bhikkhu, the Dhamma, excellent in the beginning, excellent in the middle, and excellent in the end, both in the spirit and in the letter. Proclaim the holy life, altogether perfect and pure. So you look at the notes. Note 2. The Pali term Brahmacharya has no connection whatsoever with the God or Brahma. It is used in the sense of noble or holy. So proclaim the holy life. In Pali it's called Brahmacharya. So this was how it happened. There are beings with little dust in their eyes who, not hearing the Dhamma, will fall away. There will be those who understand the Dhamma. This one also same message from the Brahma Sahampati to the Buddha last time. He said, I too, O Bhikkhu, will go to Uruvela in Sena Nigama in order to preach the Dhamma. Hoist the flag of the sage. Preach the sublime Dhamma. Work for the good of others. You who have done your duty. The Buddha was thus the first religious teacher to send his enlightened ordained disciple to propagate the teaching out of compassion for the world and for others. With no effort, alone and penniless, these first missioners were expected to wander from place to place to teach the sublime Dhamma. They had no other material possession but their robes to cover themselves and an armful to collect food. As the field was extensive and the workers were comparatively few, they were advised to undertake their missionary journey alone. As they were arahants who were free from all sensual bond, their chief and only object was to teach the Dhamma and proclaim the holy life, Brahmacharya. The original role of arahants who achieved their life's goal was to work for the moral upliftment of both of the people, both by example and by precept. Material development, though essential, was not their concern. Okay, we stop here. Page 109. Then next Tuesday, maybe we will continue. Founder of the Order of the Sangha. Okay. Which means Brother Sangha another week to rest. Next Tuesday I will continue from here. Gone already. Thought already. Thought already. Gone through already. Gone through already. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta has gone through many times. You read our this chanting book, it's inside there. It's very clear. Okay, maybe we will do the sharing of merits and transfer of merit. Before I end, maybe this whiteboard. Last week I forgot to write a few words, so not so clear. After that, you must take a shot of this. Last week I didn't put this. No mark of a self, others, and Dhamma. I just wrote this part, I didn't put this. So now to make it clear. So I just, maybe a quick revision, last Tuesday. If you are mindful, you will be sensitive. This one I think you all can understand. When you are mindful, you are without thought, silent, aware, not lost in thought. That's why you can become sensitive. Many things you can come to understand. Because when you are silent without thought, your awareness is very clear. Then the teaching of Huining, this two in red, last Tuesday I didn't write it down, so now you understand. There are three essence. First essence, second essence, and third essence. First essence is no thought, 无念. So you can reach this stage of cultivation, which is also part of the Diamond Sutra teaching, which Huining liked, and that's why he taught the same. His three essences are very powerful, leading to Buddhahood. First essence is, you must cultivate until you realize the true mind, which is a silent mind without thought. That's why 无念, no thought. Then the second essence is no mark, no mark, 无相, no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others to liberate or take across, then no mark of Dhamma or life or existence or whatever within the conditional world. When you can cultivate until this level, means you have awakened to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, and you already developed the clear understanding. And when you can reach this stage, means from the state of no thought, true mind, you must have located the gateway and stabilized it. Then after that, you will have this ability to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, non-self. Then that contemplative wisdom become deeper and deeper and deeper and clearer and clearer, until you hit this no mark of a self, which Arahant also can understand. Then no mark of others, the Arahant also can understand. But beyond that, no mark of Dhamma is not easy for Arahant to understand. And this one, the Bodhisattva will understand. That's why when you cultivate according to this noma, you are not interested in merit anymore, because you know this type of cultivation is way beyond the thought base or the sainthood way. And the field of merit, like explained by the Buddha in the Diamond Sutta, is way, way beyond whatever the conditioned world can provide to the normal cultivation. Then after that, when you truly penetrate that nature, and when your understanding is so profound, so stable, then this mundane mind will start to collapse, because that fine vibration, that wisdom energy, has become so fine until your mundane mind will collapse. Where your mundane mind cannot stay, cannot withstand that fine vibration of that pure wisdom energy. Then when your mundane mind collapse, you will have this ability to leave the third essence. The former mind will have this ability. The mind has got no dwelling. It does not dwell anywhere. And this one, your mundane mind has to collapse. Then your nature shine forth. And that nature, because it has got nothing inside there, that's why you cannot talk about it. It does not dwell, it does not have anything inside there. It's just aware. Aware means you can use the form and mind connected to it to live life. But this nature does not dwell anywhere. It can make use of this form and mind to speak the Dhamma, to share the Dhamma, to do whatever you want to do. But inside, no movement, still, just aware. Then it can make use of this form and mind to develop the specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. That's why it does not dwell anywhere. It's just aware, finish, aware. And it will awaken. And because of that very penetrative wisdom, the stability of that understanding, that nature inside transform. That one you have to go through the trust gateway to do all this internal transformation. Then the mundane mind will collapse. Then when it collapses, means the Bodhisattva way has been stable, establish until no regression. There is a matter of time before they finish their perfection to be a Sammasambuddha. So this stage of being, the third essence, is not easy, but it can be done. Okay, so we end. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we can end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakhantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāva nivāna pātiyā sādhu sādhu sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end.